This morning's scripture reading will be coming from the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. That would be the first book of John, chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And I read, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. He who has the Son of life, he who does not have the Son of God, does not have life. These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God."
I'd like to say good morning to everyone. It is good to be here as we have come to worship God in spirit and in truth. And now we come to that part of our worship where we come to learn about what thus saith the Lord. I know that you see a title up there, and I'll be totally honest with you, I have changed that title, but I'm going to still use that passage or those passages of scripture. This morning, I want us to talk about being honest. And we understand that being honest is very important. When we identify with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and have that witness within us through the Word of God, we know that it requires us to be honest. We live in a world today that honesty is not really the best policy. But we know for a fact that if we desire to keep our communication and identity with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, that we have to be an honest people. On one occasion, it was said about Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 22 that there was no deceit in his mouth. The same Jesus said something about Nathanael in John 1 in verse number 47. He said, "An Israelite in whom there is no deceit, no guile." I've been thinking about that because when we consider our world, and we definitely don't want that to be in our midst, in our hearts, in our minds, in our families, and that is deceit. That is that which is not true. You remember in the book of Genesis chapter 5 in verse number 4, do you remember we come across a man by the name of Enoch? Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, I want to ask a question before we get into some of our thoughts. Can you imagine walking with God the way that he did? And the Bible demonstrates to us that God took him. God took him. And he was not. Now I want us to allow that to sink into our hearts for a few minutes. And as we think about that, we consider Enoch walking with God. And his walk was so close with God that God took him from this earth without him even dying and being buried in the ground. Often when I think about that, I say to myself, wow, what an honor to walk with God in such a way. To walk with God in truth in such a way. What an honor. And friends, it is possible for us to walk with God. As a matter of fact, God desires for us to walk with him. You remember in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, sin entered into the world through Adam, of course, but we know that evil one, that devil, that serpent, He twisted, he turned the mind of Eve, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. As a matter of fact, one word he added, thou shall not surely die. He just added one word. One word actually disturbed all families on the face of the earth from that point forward. We stop and we consider that, just that one word of deceit in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 4. And it ought to cause us to think, is lying really that bad? Should we really be honest? In 1 John 2 and verse number 21, the Bible says, there says there is no lie in the truth. None. We understand that when we consider the truth, we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. 2 Corinthians 13:8. We know for a fact that God, Jesus the Christ, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Jesus would say this in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. It is so important for us to be a people of truth, verity, and honesty. When we consider honesty, are we being honest? Can we truly say that we are an honest people? What does it mean to be honest? Let me give you a few things to consider. And when we consider these definitions, do not think of these definitions from a physical perspective. These particular definitions come directly from the Greek language. To be honest literally means to be beautiful, commendable, good, genuine, approved, noble, praiseworthy, morally good, honorable. As it relates to the mind, honesty affects the mind, causing it to be agreeable, comforting, and conforming. So many in our world today lie, and they have no intentions on telling the truth. Sometimes it's hard to find out if people are telling you the truth or not. It is so possible to lie so much that you can think that you're telling the truth. I'm reminded in 1 John 5 and verse number 19, John, our brother, there says to those in whom he was loving, he says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Friends, the world still lies under the sway of the wicked one. Jesus would say in John 8 and verse number 44 that the devil, he speaks lies. He is the father of lies. His resources are lies. And our Lord would say this about the devil. There is no truth in him. I stopped and I considered that this week and been thinking about that heavily this weekend. That people will lie about just about everything and won't even blush. Won't even think about it. And the question we have to ask ourselves is that, do we truly want to be associated with the evil one? Do we want to be one that's associated with the devil? Friends, there are great benefits to being honest. And keep in mind, 1 John 2 and 21, there is no lie of the truth. And remember, the devil just added one word, not, and he changed the whole course of time. He changed the whole environment of the garden. The experience in the garden, which was a great experience, now turmoil. But there are benefits to being honest. Number one, when we consider some of the benefits of being honest, God's word will work and produce fruit in an honest heart. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke as we pick up on the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, verses 11 and verse 15, we take notice of something. Something very powerful. The very words of our Lord and Savior has this to say concerning the seed. In Luke 8, verse number 11, Jesus said, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Friends, we understand that God's word is the seed. It is that which goes into the hearts of men and women and begins to germinate, if you will. But it will only germinate and bring forth fruit in a good and honest, an honest and good heart. Jump down to verse 15. In verse 15, our Lord and Master says this: "But the one that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble," the King James Version uses the word honest, I believe it is, "with an honest and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Friends, it is so important for us to be honest. Turn to James chapter 1 real quick. In James chapter 1, verse number 21 through 25, here we take notice of something. And one of the things that I've been thinking about this week as I was considering the other lesson, but this one began to formulate in my mind and to take over. And the reason why is because sometimes, friends, we're just not as honest as we think we are. And it's so important for us to be honest, genuine, commendable. And it's something that has to be taught to our children. And they have to be reminded that you have to be honest. And notice in James chapter 1 and verse 21 through 25, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness," notice, "the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Now notice what must be laid aside, if you will. What must be laid aside is all filthiness and overflow, the King James Version would use superfluity of wickedness or naughtiness. In order to receive the implanted word with meekness, that the soul may be saved, one must have to put away some things. It's the same thing as Jesus would say as it relates to Luke chapter 8. But notice what he says in verse number 22. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he who observes himself goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Now, friends, when we consider this, I want us to take note that when we really rid those things that cause us to receive the word of God or not receive the word of God, when we get rid of those things, we are able to receive what God's word actually says. And so it's important for us to be honest with ourselves. It's important for us to be honest with God and not hang our hats or put our trust in something that's not true. And friends, if we're not careful, we can train ourselves to be deceitful. And so when we think about this, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 8, we understand that an honest and upright heart, coupled with God's word, will yield fruit, and it will yield it in abundance. Why is that important? Because in order for us to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, friends, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we have to have an honest heart. We have to be honest. And so many in our world today are just not honest. They're just not honest. But we have to be honest. And so to walk according to the Spirit's teaching, to be a person that is walking in the light as He is in the light, we have to be honest with ourselves. So God's word will work and produce fruit in an honest heart. Number two, our honesty has to be seen by God and man. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want to start here and then make my way back to Romans chapter 12. But I want to start here for our careful observation of God and man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. As a matter of fact, verse 21. Look at verse 21. Here, notice what Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is encouraging the church at Corinth to do. Providing honorable things, which is honest, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Now, I want us to take note of that, that our honesty is twofold, that our honesty has to be in the sight of God and also in the sight of men. Notice Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, in verse number 17, notice what the Bible says. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good. There's our word there for honest. Good things. Honest things in the sight of all men. What does it mean? Why should I be honest? I should be honest because it is a representation of God himself. Friends, we can't be walking around lying. We can't do it. We do what is right regardless of who's watching. The eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. We owe it to God and our fellow man, no matter what the stage of life is, no matter what context we're in, to demonstrate honesty, integrity, genuineness of godly character, and not just mere appearance. We owe it to God, and we owe it to one another. We owe it to our spouses. We owe it to our children. We owe it to the world that we live in, that we are genuine and that we're honest. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. Take notice of that. Really, all of us as Christians, consider, all of us as Christians should have no problem telling people, I live an open book life. I told a person the other day, you can ask me any question you want to. Have at it. You'll get the truth. Friends, we can't be hiding things. We're God's people. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 7 and following. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Now notice what he says. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable. There's our word. Though we may seem disqualified, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this also we pray, in order that you may be made complete. We don't want to appear right. We don't want to look the part, but we actually want to be the part. We actually want to be a people who demonstrate righteousness. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, look at verses 9 through 11. In Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul, in his prayer, says something very powerful. And I say in his prayer, but really this was his prayer for them. And he says, in this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, in order that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want us to take notice of that word, sincere. When you look at verse number 10 and that word sincere, it's the idea of unfolding, to be examined by the sunlight. And our lives ought to be just like that. Friends, if you're hiding things you shouldn't be hiding, just clear it up. Get it right. Because one thing we do know, that on the day of judgment, that every secret thing will be revealed. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the last verse. As I was pondering this, I was thinking, God, you don't want us lying at all. Well, of course not. But sometimes we don't tell all of the truth. And sometimes we withhold truth and we call it wisdom. If we're going to walk in the light, friends, we have to walk in the light. Number three, our honesty requires pondering and practice. Notice Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things, here's our word, are noble, honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think, meditate on these things. Now notice what Paul says in verse 9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, do. Paul, what he said, I live a transparent life. The things that you saw in me, you heard me say. And friends, I know for a fact that if leaders in the Lord's church cannot live a transparent life, then who can? If Christians can't live a transparent life, then who can? Notice 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we need to make sure that we position ourselves to live transparent lives. But we got to stay away from some things. We have to keep in mind, as Raphael gave us a great lesson a couple Wednesdays ago, about being pilgrims. We're sojourning. We're just passing through. This is not our home. We're looking for a land whose builder and maker is God. And notice what he says in verse number 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners, pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Notice this. Having your conduct, that's your lifestyle. Friends, our lifestyle means something because our lifestyle is actually a product of what we believe. It's a product of it. And so he says here, having your conduct honorable, there's our word, among the Gentiles, in our case, among non-Christians. Non-Christians ought to be able to say, that's a member of the Lord's church. That's a Christian. That's a blood-bought believer. That's one who is on his way to heaven. Among the Gentiles. Now notice what he says. That when they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Friends, God wants us to be a people who are cultivating Christian character every day in the spirit of humility. That's what he wants. Sometimes we say, well, I know it's not totally the truth, but we have to tell the truth. Let's tell the truth on this time side, and let's get used to telling the truth, because that's what identifies us with being holy. We don't lie for our jobs. We don't lie on applications. We don't lie on tax documents. We don't lie for nothing. We tell the truth in everything. No white lies, no black lies, no Spanish lies, no lies, period. And the reason why is because God says, I want you to be honest. And for this reason, every false teacher that's in the land needs to be rebuked. Stop lying to the people. This congregation does not labor and spend great amounts of money in evangelism in this radio station to put out error. We put truth out there. And Brother Dennis, we do that because we want people to be saved, right? And if you start pouring out falsehood, people won't be saved. But it's the same for the Christian who doesn't walk in honesty. And friends, God wants us to be honest. And the more that I look at social media, and I'm not just getting on social media because it's been around for a long time, but it's interesting that people can live a lie online. They can live a lie. We don't want to get used to that. And they put these pictures up and everything is going well in their lives, but really it's in shambles. Well, I know it's not the full truth, but they don't have to know. God knows. Number four, what is honesty associated with? It's associated with trust, freedom,
faithfulness, confidence, joy, peace, clarity of the conscience. How do I obtain it? Through studying God's word and meditating on it and submitting myself to it as I allow it to develop me, nurture me. It's associated with godly living. Put your seatbelts on for this one. Honesty is associated with weakness. Being vulnerable. Many don't want to be vulnerable. What do you mean by vulnerable, Brother Mike? Putting yourself out there as one who tells the truth. Honesty is associated with worth, transparency, humility, hope, heaven, health, mental health. Could many have problems with their mental health because they've lied so much that evil has taken over their minds? Honesty is associated with self-evaluation, examination, correction, repentance, reassurance. It's associated with God, prayer, and dependence upon Him and others. In other words, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verse number 5 and 6. What is honesty associated with? Likewise, ye younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Here, I believe he's talking about the older men, but the elders could also be in the context because of the first four verses. Yea, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed. Now notice what he says, and be clothed with humility. And there's a great struggle. Now we talk about many problems in America, yea, the world, but truly what the main problem is humility. Humbling yourselves. And friends, this passage is in the Bible. God resists the proud. And he's still resisting the proud today. But he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, since we said these things, Peter is saying, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God in order that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God cares. He cares for us. But he wants us to humble ourselves. And do you realize how much humility it takes to be honest? Husbands, be honest with your wives. Wives, be honest with your husbands. Parents, allow your children to see honesty in the home. Don't have your phone ring and say, tell them I'm not here. That's not being honest. Just don't answer it. But be honest. But Brother Mike, if I'm honest, then it might come back upon me. So be it. Be honest. And the reason why is because of who lives in us. The Word of God. God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, living within us by faith. Be honest. I believe I just lost a good brother that will probably never be in my life again because of dishonesty. And it hurts me. I'll be honest with you. It bothers me. You can't deal with dishonesty. Especially if you won't come off of it. Friends, be honest. Whispers separate the chief friends. Dishonesty separates people. Dishonesty separates us from God. Be honest. Why? Because of its association, joy and peace and clarity of mind and mental health. You're able to sleep at night when you're honest. But if I'm honest, I might lose my job. If I'm honest, I might not get this car because of the application. or this home. I really want this house. But if I'm honest and if I tell them what I really make, I might not get it. Be honest. It's not God's will for you to have it at that time then. Young people, be honest with your parents about your relationships. Be honest. Be honest with God. And last but not least, the hardest person to be honest with is self. Usually, we'll say the easiest person to lie to is yourself. And that's true. You realize how many times the Bible demonstrates to us, be not deceived. Literally in the Greek, don't deceive yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Tell yourself the truth. And the reason why is because of the mirror that we're looking into, as we demonstrated earlier, which is the Word of God. Let's become addicted to the truth and to the service of God. 1 Corinthians 16:15 and following. And let's not become addicted to dishonesty. None of us have a right to be dishonest. And even though the world around us, they'll tell you, well, it's all right to be dishonest in certain situations. They call it situational ethics. The situation doesn't determine the ethics. The ethics always determines the situation. Why? Because our ethic is Jesus Christ. He's the moral standard. He's the one that we go to. He's the one that we're going to stand before. And he's the one that we should desire to look like. And therefore, the situation doesn't determine the ethics. The one who is all ethical determines all situations. So, I hope, pray, and trust that we desire to be honest. And if you haven't been honest, you get it right with God. If you've been lying, get it right with God. Let me give you one passage. Everyone turn to Revelation 21. I want us to look at verse 8. And the seriousness of lying and not being honest. Here we have a list of people who will be lost. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We can't afford to lie. Because the very fact that John, through inspiration, says all liars, we can't afford not one lie. We need to be a people of truth. So let's tell the truth. And I guarantee you, if you tell the truth, you end up in heaven. But if you lie, you won't. You won't. We're trying to go to heaven. If you're not a child of God, here's the truth. Here's the truth right here. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Jesus said that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said that. In order for a person to be saved, they have to believe the gospel and be baptized. Jesus said that. I was listening to a lesson that someone gave me the other day to critique. And he said, you could just say this prayer and you'll be saved. That's what he said. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said that. Jesus also said in Luke 17 and verse number 3, I tell you nay, except ye repent, you shall all, Luke 13, 3. I tell you nay, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said that. And so with that being said, repentance, faith, and baptism puts one into Christ. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. And he is truth. And so if you want to be saved, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to be saved. We want you to be part of the blood-bought institution of Christ. You can make that known even today. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been telling the truth. The last thing you need to do is to lie to yourself now and say, I'm okay. Don't do that. We have to tell the truth. And regardless of how hard it is or how much it may hurt or what it may cost us, we tell the truth. And God will bless our lives as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.